Blog Talk Radio.
One night, Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barn and with the greatest of care. Hen house, something stirred when he hollered, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself, stop all that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us." He kindly point that gun the other way and holler, holler, holler up and hit the hay, 'cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens. Ain't nobody here at all. Shaking the ground, kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep and you butt in. And hobble, 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 hobble with your chin, 'cause tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do, we got eggs to lay, ground to dig and worms to scratch. Thanks a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch, 'cause there ain't nobody here but us chickens, done.
You're listening to Nonprofit Radio, FM 97.3, KZAC LP Sacramento, 104.9 FM, KGIG LP Modesto Ripon, or FM 93.3, KPHD LP Modesto Ceres.
Welcome to today's edition of The Backstory with former Mayor Carmen Sabatino, with news and information you will not read in the local paper or hear on area radio and TV. The Backstory presents an insider's view of what's really happening on a local political scene. And now, let's join your host, Carmen Sabatino, to learn The Backstory.
Well, good morning and welcome to The Backstory. We really have a lot to talk about, so we want to move on here. We want to introduce our guest first. I'm sure it's Bruce Froman, former city councilman. Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Oh, good.
We're getting good at this. You know, we wanted to start out with what I thought was sort of an interesting article in the Bee about the survey they took on the number of homeless persons in Stanislaus County and the various cities. Modesto, of course, has 1,400 homeless. And that figures because we're the largest city. And then from there we go to Turlock, 247, Empire and Patterson in the 70s, Oakdale 43, Ceres and Newman are 41, Riverbank is 14, Keys has 10, Salida has 9, Denair has 3, Houston has 2, and guess what? Waterford and Hickman have none. So it's a total of 1,923 homeless in Stanislaus County. Now the question.
So I'm wondering when Stanislaus County is going to establish homeless camps in Waterford and Hickman.
I'm sorry you said that. You didn't hear it here. Yeah, Waterford and Hickman.
I'm sure they'd be delighted.
Yeah, you pick up your share and help out. So, but it's it was interesting to me that the number has grown quite a bit, despite, I think, the last, maybe it hasn't grown, Bruce. I recall the last count that I heard was around 1,400 for the city of Modesto, so maybe the city of Modesto count hasn't grown so much.
They said they got their methodologies down a lot better this year, and it's up 15%, that they know what they're doing now as far as how to interview people properly, how to track them down, how to count them.
Oh, yeah. I think out of 311, they had 250 trained. So that's the stats I got. But, you know, who knows who's homeless?
Well, isn't it amazing that with the federal government saying we've got the best economy we've ever had, that here we are with record prosperity, and yet we have this many homeless people. So that means either the federal government is telling a lie, or people just can't earn enough on their jobs to pay the rent.
Well, that's part of it. I'm sure there are people who have lost their jobs and have found themselves homeless. You can say through no fault of their own because of the economy. But I get a kick out of those people who use the phrase, they don't want to work. Well, you know, if you're mentally ill, if you're on drugs, if you're not able to compete in this economy, in this society, your only choice is homeless. And I don't find that to be a very pleasant existence. So those who say, oh, yeah, they like it out there. Well, I seriously doubt that. But
you know, Carmen,
there's
all sorts of reasons for homelessness, and it's always unwise to generalize about any group of people, because there may be some homeless people who don't want to work, but there are probably a lot of homeless people who do want to work and for whatever reason are unable to work. Like, you know, if someone is disabled, has medical problems, they may want to work, but they can't generate any income because of their illness or their disability or whatever. And the generalization just really bothers me when someone says, well, someone's homeless because they don't want to work. You don't know that. And to say that is rather cruel and heartless and just not thinking. You know, it's just so when someone says something like that, they're just plain stupid.
Well, you make my point. My point is that those who want to be critical of the homeless pick out those points, the reasons why they're going to be critical. Well, anyhow, I understand what you're saying, and I agree. And my point was, it's not a generalization. There are many, many groups within the homeless. Some interesting results that were included in the survey, Bruce, was that 80% of the homeless said they had been living in Stanislaus County when they first became homeless. So there's a statement you can use against they're all outsiders. Well, no, that's not true. 80% became homeless living here. Let's see, 1,088 were not in shelters. 662 were in emergency shelters. And 173 were in transitional housing. So we know we can count the ones in the shelters fairly accurately, I would think. But the top barriers to getting help, the survey continues, includes a lack of transportation, not having identification or appropriate documents, not knowing where to go, and not qualifying for services. Many homeless people, survey says, reported having an income, including 250 with Social Security, 148 receiving disability payments, and 87 receiving temporary assistance for needy families, which is for families with children. Well,
by the way, Carmen, there's
sure.
Another statistic that wasn't counted, and it's a number that really cannot be determined, and that number is the number of people on the verge of becoming homeless. We don't know how many people have been served with eviction notices for non-payment of rent, how many people have lost their jobs, or lost their income, or have become ill and are going to end up homeless within the next year. And that is a number that concerns me, not only who's homeless now, but also those who are going to be entering the homeless population. And I don't have a solution for it. All I can say is I'm concerned about it, and I would really like to see a provision made to accommodate those people when they emerge into the population so that they don't have a long period in which they are homeless or are suffering.
Yeah, I think what I'm saying is that you should do everything you can to make sure they don't become homeless in the first place. What kind of assistance do they need to stay home? How much more is it going to cost? Of course, you know, one of the criticisms could be, gee, I want them, from the landlord's point of view, I want them evicted so I can clean this place up a little bit and get higher rent. And so I don't know the prevalency of leases anymore. It seems like when landlords decide that a lease is to their benefit, they ask for one. But in any event, I wonder how much that would cost compared to taking care of them after they've been evicted from their house. You know, there was a great article in The Bee. Bruce, you're familiar with Emerson Drake?
Yes, uh-huh.
And you don't realize, I didn't realize, I've known Emerson for maybe 20, 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you got it in the paper today, but I would never believe that Emerson Drake was given an article on the opinion page of the Modesto Bee. He's always had small referrals in the stories. He's been mentioned in the stories. But my assessment of that is that he really wrote, I think, a great article on the Monica Houston situation, where Monica Houston was given $225,000 in hush money, and that would be the auditor, and for her silence, and then told to leave town.
Only have one comment I'd like to make about that particular story. And that is,
sure.
I don't know any of the particulars of it, who's wrong and who's right in the situation. All I can say is that when you terminate an employment contract and you have to give a sum of money to end that contract, somebody did something wrong, and whoever did the wrong should be held to account. I see that $225,000 as a loss to the community, as money that could have been used for something else, like paying an auditor.
Well, she was the auditor.
I understand that, but that money should have gone towards actually getting auditing done, not to get someone to leave the city. See what I'm saying?
Well, that's why that's why you're listening to the backstory, because we're going to talk about that. That the city council hired Monica Houston as their auditor, figuring, well, she could be manipulated or what have you. And the fact is that they found out she couldn't be manipulated, that she was doing too good a job. And so what we see here then is Monica Houston saying, how do we shut her up now? How do we get
okay,
rid of her?
Okay, but exactly what did she say or do to bring the decision, to bring about the decision to dismiss her? What is it she was recommending or saying?
Oh, well, we can hit that. I lost my screen here for a minute.
Because reading the article, I could not really understand what Mr. Drake was saying in terms of what was being covered up. I couldn't figure out what was being covered up.
Well, okay, why don't we go through this? This would be good for me and also good for our listeners. But Emerson's article says that he asks his own question, how did we get into this? Both the council and the public were concerned with $16 million in financial irregularities and human resource missteps, which he calls a hanging noose at City Hall, in his opinion. So they decided to bring in an in-house auditor. Her requests for resources were habitually denied by the city attorney. Well, let's cast of character. City attorney, he's the guy that runs everything. He's the guy that collects $20 million in legal fees from this city, $11 million for his own firm. That would be Adam Lindgren. Adam Lindgren is a principal in Myers Nave. Okay? He gets $11 million. He overcharges the city, and if you catch him, they keep quiet about it. And he puts out contracts to other law firms for another $9 million. Well, so guess who comes to town and starts asking questions? She wanted her contract to be changed to give her access to information without having to go through the city attorney. Well, she wasn't going to get that because, you know what, the city manager and the city attorney will demand to approve anything that comes through the clerk's office. So there will be times now where the clerk office will say, I will get you the public records request as soon as it is approved by the city attorney's office, Adam Lindgren.
So can I recap here? I got to ask you the question. So you're saying, based on the way you read it, that perhaps the city spent too much money for legal services. Is that correct?
They spent too much money for everything, Bruce.
I understand, but I'm just talking about for the legal services. That's the part that was being audited, or she wanted to audit and was blocked from auditing?
No, there was another one. It was Highway 132. I was going to get to that.
Uh-huh.
So the Gang of Four and Zalaki, Ridenour, Knoyer, and Manny Grewal may never be elected to office again. They don't deserve it. They deserve to be exposed for what they've done and what they're doing, okay? They had to provide cover for the city manager's series of misadventures. He goes on to say, the city attorney helped by channeling many discussion topics into closed session where they could not be repeated in public, and delayed, denied, and watering down results of public record requests. Well, the expert on public records requests, that's from Emerson. I've made some. But they were, this is what you can have, this is redacted. Okay? So the phrase that Emerson uses here, Bruce, he says, if information is power, then controlling or restricting said information is also power. So here's the 132 one, Bruce. You got this? Oh, hang on.
Yeah.
July, acting on information provided by a local Caltrans office, and this was later revealed at a higher state level, Monica Houston, the auditor, became concerned about the city going out to bid on legal fees for the Highway 132 bypass project. She then recommended that the council grant her better access to information. needed for a thorough investigation. And within 5 days, the council decided to subject her to a performance evaluation. I think there were 6 unpleasant job reviews in less than 8 months. And Bruce?
Hold on.
Yeah, job review or without the person there? Well, if you were going to review an employee when you were on the council, you say, yeah, let's go into closed session, let's talk about so-and-so, but we don't want her there.
No, we didn't do that.
I know, but that's what this council was doing.
And the 132 thing, simply that Adam Lindgren was going to work for the 132 on their side and work for the city of Modesto on this side. And that's a conflict of interest that you try to get to the bottom of.
Well, all right. Then Emerson goes on to say that it got so bad that the Gang of Four started refusing to meet with her. So Houston finally realized that she was in a political firestorm because she was trying to do the job she was hired to do. The city attorney stepped out and an outside attorney entered. When Houston left the meeting, she hired representation of her own. The handwriting was on the wall. You follow this. Now, the city attorney, he hired another attorney to do this negotiations with Monica Houston. He wanted to keep his hands off. I don't want my fingerprints on this. It was another attorney who gave her the $225,000 to go home, okay, and to buy her silence. Well, this is, and I heard part of this, but at Tuesday's council meeting, Bill Zelacki, and incidentally, we can safely say, it would be a guess, that there are 4 people that want to be mayor on that council. That would be Doug Ridenour, Bill Zelacki, Tony Madrigal, and Manny Grewal. Now, I don't know. When I was mayor, there were probably 6 people that wanted to be mayor. You know, I don't know. But if Brandwall is sitting there content with getting $50,000 from Supervisor Jim DeMartini so that he can be reelected, he should not be so comfortable.
He'll probably have to raise $250,000 because nowadays, every election, don't they spend about $250,000 to get elected?
Yeah, but this is what I like about this election. Okay? This is going to be the longest election campaign in the history of Modesto because it's a year and a half away. So we can talk about issues in real time. We don't have to wait a year and a half to talk about what these people are doing right now in this time period, in this month or 2 months. And we have to keep a record, okay, that this Gang of Four, this is how they voted to cover up what this city manager has done to this city. And only because he's cooperated with Adam Lindgren. So $225,000 of our money buys her silence about the way she was treated. So here comes Zelacki. Zelacki comes in and says at Tuesday's meeting, he reads part of a letter from Monica Houston on the $225,000. who had been with us 8 months. And Zelacki says, nothing happened. Yeah, it happened, Bill. You just didn't like what happened. 132, questions about the $16 million. There's no question. Even the B has reported the corruption that is going on at City Hall. And I've got a theory about why Emerson Drake made this, and I congratulate him. I'm a little jealous. But Emerson's a good writer. And so Zelacki says, nothing happened. And he says, he wants to ask the public, who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? Well, Mr. Zelacki, I'm not going to believe you. I am not going to believe you. So it's bad enough to do what you do, but don't tell a non-truth about it. No, I don't believe you. I know, because I was there. I know what they've done and what they're doing. So, in fact, didn't I write, where would that be, on Outlook? This is the Adam Christians. Okay. After all these years, I still don't know how to operate these things. but this is what I wrote as a commentary on Christian and the Emerson's article. And it was this: to the Gang of Four, council members Bill Zelacki, Doug Ridenour, Jenny Kinnoyer, and Manny Grewal. Who are you going to believe, me or your lying eyes? Quote Bill Zelacki. Well, thanks to Emerson Drake, we know who to believe. You know, of course, that you will be watched until the next election. And that's 18 months from now, the four of you. We will deal with the present based on the past to decide for the future. So that was my commentary on Emerson's story. It's a different world. It's not what it was when we were there, Bruce. We were there at the infancy of special interest control of such magnitude. Does that give you a different idea? Or I know I'm occupying. I'm glad you called in, but I hate to not have you talk. I keep butting in on what we want to hear from you too.
Well, I'd rather learn from you than talk, because when I talk, I'm not learning anything.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't find that. On the council, I found that when you were ready, when I pressed your button, you were ready to talk and talk intelligently. So,
thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, we've only got a few minutes left, and we finished before you got the hook. So
The hook is getting very close.
Okay.
In fact, I can hear the hook on the kitchen table.
Okay. Enjoy your life.
So I'm going to sign off here. Thanks for having me, and as usual, interesting show.
All right, drop by again. We'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Okay, we'll be back at 11 tomorrow. We're going to be talking about the district attorney's office inside of City Hall. Thanks for listening.